You ever say something you wish you hadn't said? Dan Yeary, in one of his articles, was reminding me that he came across a picture of, well, actually a fish that was mounted on a wall. And that fish was like this picture. Underneath it, when he got close enough to it, it said, "If I'd kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't be here now." We've been there, haven't we? Ever have anybody say something to you that you wish they hadn't said and you can't forget what they said? Tim Stafford talked about growing up in a home where his mother knitted a lot, probably trying to, like most mothers, stretch the dollars to take care of the entire family's needs. He said she was always coming up behind you and measuring things on your shoulders and the back of you to see if it would fit. And he said, "One Christmas I opened up a box and there was a beautiful red cable sweater, the cables that just," he said, "I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen." And the first chance from school started again, the very first day, wore that red sweater. And the first thing my best friend did, he walked up to me and he said, "You look just like a girl in that sweater." And I couldn't wait to get home, took that sweater off, and it was never on me again. Our words can come out and, wow, like feathers in a pillow, you can't get them back. And they can create a firestorm. Daryl Morey with the Houston Rockets has found out in the last couple of weeks that if you say something, you tweet something out, it can cause an international incident. And right now he's trying desperately to figure out a way to get back his integrity as the entire National Basketball Association is having trouble just playing games in China because he said something he shouldn't have said. And our president has a habit of opening his mouth and the rest of us shaking our heads. And these days, because of something he said, he's under impeachment inquiries. Wow. This passage of scripture is so very practical and so very personal. James has been talking about doing what God says, and now he extends that into what we say as a result of doing what we hear God say. But the important question as you read this passage of scripture is to ask yourself, is God merely trying to make me say less? Is God just merely trying to get me to shut up every once in a while? Or is there something more? Is there something more? So let's look at what the Bible says, and then let's try to figure out how what that means today, and then lastly, how we can apply that to ourselves in terms of growing to be more like Christ. In this passage of Scripture, James starts out with a word for teachers, and here he's talking about people like myself who are trying to teach and to live both the Word of God. He says something that is on the lines of more than merely, you can make mistakes, be careful. He's trying to talk about something more. And to remember that is to put yourself back into the day where James is speaking. He is talking about situations where people do not, like you, have Bibles sitting in their laps. He's talking about, even as a young boy, walking into a situation in Nazareth where they heard the word of God taught. And when they walked into that small synagogue, they were walking into a situation, many of them as people who couldn't even read, much less owned any books or anything written in material themselves. They walked into a situation where in the synagogue where they were, if there was a scroll, that particular rabbi would open up the scroll and would read it and then would roll the scroll back and then they would comment. And whether the people were in Jerusalem worshiping at the temple or whether they were in synagogue relationships, they were dependent upon the integrity of the person who was teaching them translating what God was saying as they tried to remember it and then put it into practice. It's a completely different kind of understanding than you and I tend to have, because when I'm talking and I'm reading, you can open up your Bible and read it, and I encourage you to go home and don't ever be a part of a church that doesn't use the Bible, right? Because what we want to do is we want to follow what God says, not merely what someone like me might say. We want to hear what God has to say. And when James is talking about teachers, he's talking about people remembering that there will be a stricter rule. And that strict rule, the strictest place you can put a teacher into, is where they will be held responsible for everything that they will say. Someone actually recording the very words that they are saying and then coming back later. And if you read the Bible clearly and you listen to what Jesus says, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus makes it very clear that as we speak, we've got to remember. Matthew 12, verse 36, I tell you, he says, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In other words, if you are going to follow Jesus Christ, bear in mind that God is listening and recording what you say and how you say it. Your integrity and what you say you believe and who you say is your Lord is very important. And as he says that, he also points out that we all stumble. We all make mistakes. God, the Bible says, God is very aware that we are but dust. And we know what it means to stumble. Nothing can hurt your pride more than stumbling. What do? When we stumble, you immediately start looking around. Is anybody watching me? It can take down your dignity really quickly. And James says that we all do this. And if anyone does not, verse 2, do this, he is a perfect man. James is not merely making a broad-based statement that is true, but will never be accomplished. James is talking about his own life. He's talking about growing up in a home with someone that has never made a spoken mistake. He grew up with that person. James is talking about living like Jesus lives. And he's talking about something that is doable. That's what we've got to grasp. We experientially, he says, do stumble regularly, but he's not setting that forward as the standard. He's setting forward as the standard the one that he lived with. And even as I say that, you and I kind of sit back in our chairs and as we read this, and we tend to think, boy, that would be so difficult living in a home where someone is always right, someone who always seems to know everything, because we tend to come from a background where mere accomplishment becomes a reason to pride ourselves, and in breeding that pride within us, we tend to make something for ourselves. But in doing that, we completely forget that that was not Jesus Christ and is not our Lord and Savior. The one who gave himself for us and did not live for himself, but gave himself for us, is someone who did not live for himself. And so when you talk about James living with a perfect man, you're talking about experiencing what it's like to actually live with someone who does love you dearly, graciously, is not trying to put themselves in front of you, and yet someone who you know exactly what they mean because they say what they mean. You can depend upon what they promise you they're saying they're going to do. You can understand that their loyalty and their relationship with you is never to be questioned. And James knows the power and the joy of living in a household full of people who actually were who they said they were. And he's setting that forward as a standard and calling us to it. He's not excusing our behavior and warning us. He is calling us higher. He's saying, we can do this. We can do better. If you get there, you will know what it's like. And so as he talks about that, you and I have got to consistently remind ourselves that Jesus is more than just someone who is giving you random good statements to remember because it's something you would want to use as a quote at a later time. He's not merely someone who is a wise teacher. When Jesus is, as in the Sermon on the Mount, saying, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you," Jesus is expressing what it means to live by the authority and the power and the lordship of God in Jesus Christ. And he's calling you into a kingdom life and relationships with other people where your integrity is absolutely paramount, and the relationships that come about as a result of that are so much better than you can ever do without the power of God. You see, when Jesus spoke, people listened and they thought, "Wow, that's good. That's with authority." But when Jesus rose from the dead, when Jesus actually came to life after death, all of a sudden, every single word he says is worth listening to. This is more than just a wise man. It's more than just a common and good suggestion. This is something that's possible because of the power of God and is worth setting your heart on. So James is encouraging us to try to get there as we follow after God and his son, Jesus Christ. And when he says, with these things, verse 2, we are able to bridle our whole body, he is also trying to say something positive. He goes on to talk about putting bits in the mouths of horses and rudders on a ship. Interestingly enough, using two illustrations that are about both the front and the back sides of our lives. James is trying to say, not merely, you need to shut yourself down. We need to ratchet this thing down so we can control this. He's actually trying to say the opposite. He's trying to point out to you that if you do indeed begin to live as Jesus lived, you actually will be guided. What does he say? By the will of the pilot. You see, a ship that has a rudder and a horse that has a bit is able to accomplish work. Is able to accomplish something. It's the guidance. It's the purpose. It's the movement in such a way that you don't spend a lot of wasted motion just like a horse kicking around and moving around and running around and doing aimless things. You actually are accomplishing great and powerful work. Unlike a ship without a rudder that's up being thrown around, what does he say? Tossed around by every wind of the wind and waves back in chapter 1. James is now talking about what's possible if you simply are willing to put yourself under the will of the pilot to accomplish what God has in mind. So he's saying not only that this is worthwhile in terms of your relationships, he's trying to say this is worthwhile in terms of accomplishing the very purpose for your life. And then sadly, he points out what we know in verse 5 when he uses the illustration of a forest fire to talk about that life of wasted motion and waste. That too often, if we look behind ourselves, we can see places that have been burned over in our lives by the way we spoke and what we did, and the waste and the things that are gone will take much to bring them back. And when he talks about taming, he's saying, we can't do this by ourselves. We need help. But the key here is in verse 4, that we would get to the place to where we lived and accomplished our lives according to the will of the pilot, the will of our Lord, and that we lived our lives to the best possible accomplishment. That's where he's going with all of this. His concern is that at present, out of the same mouth come things that are opposite. And his concern is talking about addressing what's inside, not merely outside. So again, be careful that you don't think that he's trying to say, talk less, start now. It's not like he's trying to start from the inside and move toward a life of purpose that is following after Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And in doing so, living in the best possible way you could live your life and accomplishing all that God has in mind for you. It has to do with what starts inside and then is expressed in an exterior fashion. So what does that mean today? First of all, it means that you and I, number one, should be trustworthy in what we say, and doing so begins inside. We've got to begin inside. It's very obvious in looking at our lives versus what James is talking about that there's a lot of unlearning that needs to take place if we are to follow Christ in every single way. And understanding that is remembering that when we use our tongue in our lives, we tend to think of them in terms of our communication, in terms of our tasting, in terms of our eating, in terms of our consumption. We tend to think of it in terms of our talking and making ourselves understood. But what we miss, I think sometimes, is that old picture of coming into the doctor's office and him saying to you, open wide. He wants to see what's inside. He's looking at the health that's not obvious on the outside. And this is what James is after. James is after opening up your mouth toward what is coming from the inside that is actually causing what is happening on the outside. And as we make ourselves understood, we miss sometimes that we are making what God knows about us obvious to the world around us when we open our mouths. What is inside, the world begins to understand. And so if we are going to address this, we've got to start from something that we have learned to do in the wrong way. Jesus also has something to say about this in the book of Mark, chapter 7, that is worth remembering. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, Jesus says it powerfully. Beginning of verse 21 of Mark 7, he says, "For from within, out of the heart of man or woman, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person." Literally, he is saying, when a person is out of control in what they say, the problem is something inside. It's not what's going on outside that person. It's what they are not allowing God to control from the inside. And when someone is out of control in what they say, you can bear in mind that it's because of a problem that only God can cure inside them. And so if we are someone who has been embarrassed by what we have said something that's gotten out of control, have started a fire somewhere that has burned over an area of our life that we wish was green and but is going to take a long time ever to come back, if it ever does. If we are to address that, we've got to start inside. Because starting inside is where God's work begins. And there's something good about today that is in addition to what James is saying and Jesus makes clear. For when we realize that what the Bible says about things being recorded is true today, it's helpful to us. For we live in a time that people do not tend to mince their words. People tend to, sadly, get it out there, and it's socially, just, it seems everywhere. But it's also important to understand that we also live in a time where nothing is ever forgotten. Nothing is ever completely erased. We live in a time when someone speaks, someone says, someone writes, and it is always going to be able to be brought back. That very memory that we are experiencing practically is going to help us to follow through on what the scripture says personally. So, number two, after realizing that we need to be trustworthy in what we say and realizing that doing so becomes insight, secondly, we've got to remember that learning to talk God's way can indeed change our lives. Because when you look at how God speaks, the Bible says that God speaks and creates. That God's word has an impact that is powerful and positive. And that when Jesus speaks, all of creation responds. When Jesus speaks, the storms stop. When Jesus speaks, healing takes place. When God speaks, the world changes. And as we can grab a hold of that positive power of what God can do from within us as we speak in following him, we can grasp on the idea that God wants to bring about something that is good, and God has the power to do so in the world in which we live. That very encouragement is the inspiration and the power toward following after what Jesus says on a regular basis, and even what the psalmist has said in chapter 19 of the book of Psalms, Psalm 19:14, says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The words of my mouth that result from the meditation of my heart. And to consider how much better that if James could experience a lifestyle with people who were trustworthy and people who built strong, deep relationships that were dependable even in every fashion of what was said. What could it be like if our homes were like that? What would it be like if our marriages were like that? What would it be like if in our home, our family actually knew what it was like to have a relationship that could always and forever be completely in every way trustworthy, even in what was said? That kind of an idea and the richness and the wonder and the comfort and the security of that should inspire us to follow after on a regular basis what only God can do in our lives. And to do that, number three, to do that, we need to recognize that this can happen not just personally, but it also should be happening in our lives socially. When we change something personally, we're affecting something socially. Churches should be the one place that you come where people do live this way. Sadly, churches too often become places where people begin to believe that because everybody's supposed to treat each other compassionately, then I can say whatever I want and they're not going to do anything about it. Wow. Sadly, a lot of us don't go to business meetings in Baptist churches because we don't want to be there when someone says something we don't want to hear. A lot of us don't want to be in leadership in Baptist churches because we don't want to be in a closed door meeting where someone will say something just off the top of their head as if they don't care what anyone thinks. Wow. And yet every word is remembered and recorded and a part of God's judgment upon us. Little wonder that if this is the way we do business, and this is the way we do leadership, little wonder that our churches are ill at their core. You know, I'm glad that we're dealing with this passage of scripture before we have a deacon's meeting tonight. I'm glad we're listening to this and checking its word from God's word before we have a business meeting next week. Because we can call each other higher. We absolutely can place our arms around each other and call each other toward the standard that is Christ among us. that we would not say what Christ would not say, that we will not treat each other in any way other than what God defines to be his way. That should be not merely our own personal encouragement. It should be our relational practice so that people who are long in this fellowship know fully that whenever you go to a business meeting or whenever you gather in a small group in that particular church, there will be no gossip about what's going on down the hallway. There will be no speaking in ways that someone should not speak in the very presence of Christ. And that we will, in love, hold each other accountable and call each other to live by what the Bible says and what we say we believe. And when we do that, this church will become a place where people come merely to be lifted as Christ is lifted up. I have a good friend in another state that I haven't seen personally for probably 20 years. I used to see him almost every single morning. We used to gather in a workout area and even shower in the same room almost every single morning before we went to work. He was a deacon in our church, chairman of our personnel committee at times. He had adopted a practice in his life that wherever he saw anyone, he would do his best to compliment every person he saw for some reason. He said, I truly can find something good about every single person. Good to see you standing up today, he might say. You made a good choice on breakfast today. It was just something about being around Lynn made you feel better. And it was a habit that he decided at some point in his life that he would cultivate. And so 2 weeks ago, when his wife of 50-something years passed away, I picked up the phone and I called him. You know why? Not only because I love him, not only because I wanted to express my love for him at his wife's passing, but also because I knew what would happen when he picked up the line, and indeed it did. Wow, it is wonderful to hear your voice. You see, we can do that. We can change the habitual way that we speak and act toward each other if we want to follow not ourselves, but how does James express it? Verse 4, the will of the pilot. We want the will of the pilot to be on our mouths. And it begins, I think, if you will just turn there as we start to apply this. How do we apply it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Paul has been talking about the body and sexual relationships, but actually what he is talking about is a world-changing way of thinking about the body. In Paul's day, it was very normal to think of the body as an ugly thing that kept you from accomplishing what God had in mind for you in your life. Your body, the world was teaching in those days, and Socrates and Aristotle and Plato and others, is the one thing that's keeping you from actually internally becoming what God had in mind. And so one day, hopefully, we'll get rid of the body. It was an awful thing. Paul actually begins to talk about the body in a completely different way. He talks about the body as something created by God as a useful vehicle for his grace. And he says that beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. about something that has to do originally with merely a physical relationship that is your whole body, but obviously actually also includes your mouth. Chapter 6, verse 19. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. That includes your mouth. So how do we apply this to our life? Number one, begin each day with a checkup. How would I do this? The same way you do it with your doctor, recognizing wanting your mouth to be a vehicle of the Holy Spirit. You open your mouth, you look in the mirror, you open your mouth, and you say, ah, Lord, what do I look like inside today? Lord? Begin each day with a checkup, and then secondly, follow what the Lord says with what you decide to say. Follow what the Lord says. The Lord, the doctor, if you will, says about what you decide to say. Thirdly, mend your fences. James says it clearly, we all do stumble in many ways. It's not an excuse, it's a recognition of reality. So number three needs to be mend your fences. Mend your fences. When you stumble, go back. Ask for forgiveness. Repair those relationships. As James says clearly, these people are people Christ died for. They are important to him. They are important, as important to me. And lastly, seek to say a good word. A word that is of God. Every good gift, perfect gift comes from God. Say a good word to every person you come across. Develop the habit by choosing to do what God has said. I think Rebecca Manley Pippert may have said it best when she said, all of us live within a world of about 50 feet. We live within a world that is about as wide as the distance our voice carries. And we are creating the power of God in Jesus Christ. We are like God in Christ. We are creating our world in what we say. And if our world is not what we would like for it to be, it has a lot to do with what we are saying or not saying. And what God wants to say and create through us. So would you bow with me this morning? I want you to think about that for a minute. Who lives within 50 feet of you? Who lives within 50 feet of you? Are you married? Do you have children? When you work? When you walk into the grocery store? When you walk around your neighborhood? Who is within 50 feet of you? You are. You are creating what that world is like. And if you are living with someone who has lived with you for a period of time, look at them. Watch them react to you. Listen to them when you begin to speak. Watch their face. Watch them. What is happening in your world? Are there some fences you need to mend? There's some people you need to heal that God has given you. And you've burned them over. Beyond that, are there people with whom you're building a relationship that you could be saying good things? You could be building a secure and a trustworthy relationship where they know when you speak and what you say, they can absolutely depend upon you. And if you've been a member of this church very long, is there something that we can do together to start making this, if it's not already, start making this into the place where we practice this so that what we learn here we can do when we leave here with people who don't follow the standard of the Bible and Jesus Christ? Lord, how I thank you for the example that you've given us in your love for us and your sacrificial care for us. How I thank you that we don't worry about what your motives are when you speak and say what you do and guide us to follow you in what we say. And I thank you, Father, that it has started with a forgiveness and with a grace that has already taken place for many of us in our hearts. But Father, forgive us for the way that we have not been practicing following you, but have been practicing either simply what we want to do or what someone else is determining. Lord, fill us with your Spirit every day when we look in that mirror and we ask how we are inside. We ask every single day that you would fill us with yourself. And that you would enable us in practice to see others as you see them and speak to them in such a way that we recognize what you are about. And in seeing that, to become aware more and more all of our lives of your work in the kingdom around us, so that we might be a part of that and build relationships that have this security and this joy and this trustworthy relationship together. And Lord, I pray that we will do this in a manner as your Christian church, as your individuals, that is gracious and kind toward others in the way that we seek to receive it ourselves. And where apologies are necessary and where renewal is necessary and beginning again is necessary, we will consistently do that individually and in our homes and in this church, so that we might be people who can be a part of the changing of a world that is out of control in the way it speaks and relates to each other. And we pray, Father, that you would begin that today in us, even as we leave this place and speak to each other. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you'll accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, or join his church family, or if you merely like to go out the back or up to the front to pray with someone, we're here. Let's sing together and you respond and follow Christ as we sing.